This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it's time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday morning, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. No overnight trading in the outside markets as they are closed for the Good Friday holiday. On the Chicago Board of Trade Thursday, May wheat closed at 638 and a half. That was down three quarter. July wheat closed at 646 and a quarter, down three and a half. September wheat closed at 659 and a quarter, down four and a half. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 658 and a quarter, up one and one half. July corn closed at 652 and a quarter, up one and a quarter, and September corn closed at 569 and a quarter, up four and a half. May soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 1434, up 14 and a half. July beans closed at 1437 and three quarter, up 14. August beans closed at 1429 and a quarter, up 12 and a half. May soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at $3.91.90, up 37. July meal closed at $3.93.70, up 47. August meal closed at $390, up 42. May soybean oil yesterday closed at $56.64, up 62. July oil closed at $57.03, up 60. August oil closed at $57.22, up 60. May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 337, up 2. July oats closed at 335 and a half. That was up 2 and a quarter. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Thursday afternoon, with soybeans and corn higher and wheat lower. Both corn and soybean futures were given a boost from higher-than-expected weekly export sales figures, with both above 1 million metric tons. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents higher at $6.51 to $6.66, and soybean bids were up 14 to 15 cents at $14.11 to $14.23. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids gained a penny, ranging from $6.54 to $6.78. Soybeans advanced 15 cents, ranging from $14.19 to $14.53. And soft red winter wheat ended mixed at $6.17 to $6.39. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills report those corn bids 1 to 2 cents higher, ranging from $6.54 to $6.66. Soybeans were up 14 to 15 cents at $14.20 to $14.23, and the wheat closed mixed at $6.27 to $6.37. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 1 to 3 cents stronger at $6.65 to $6.70. Soybeans gained 14 to 17 cents at $14.38 to $14.42, and new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery steady to 6 cents lower at $6.30 to $6.38. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 cents higher at $6.81 to $6.82. These same elevators boosted their soybean prices by 13 to 15 cents, with quotations at $14.55 to $14.57. Soft red winter wheat lost a penny, down to 657 to 658, but Milo ended 2 cents higher at 638 to 639. That is our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, April hogs closed at 84.50, up 65. May hogs closed at 94.22, up 147. June hogs closed at 93.52, up $1.52. April cattle on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, 118.32, up 42. For June, 115.82, up 70. For August, 118.47, up 60. April feeder cattle yesterday closed at 148.72, up a nickel. May feeders closed at 148.32, up 12. And June feeders 150.95, that was up 25. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Thursday, April 5th, for the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels, and gilts closed unchanged with a carcass-based price range of 71 to 83.5 and a weighted average of 77.76. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 13,200. Illinois direct brown gilt trade steady, 53 to 56, and Illinois direct slaughter sows mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 47 to 51. 450 to 550 pounds, 48 to 53. Over 550 pounds, 51 to 54. Today's estimated receipt, 625. Wednesday's actuals, 1,025. Pork carcass cutout, 78.15, and that is down 42 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection, hogs for today, 415,000. Last week, 413,000. A year ago, 415,000. Week to date of 1,667,000. Cattle today, 124,000. Last week, 116,000. A year ago, 129,000. Week to date, 498,000. Box beef cutout values were sharply lower on moderate demand and heavy offerings. Total movement today, 206 fab loads of 76 trim. Choice at 178.51. That is down $2.13. Select 176.66, and that is down $1.71. At the Greenville Livestock Auction, 552 heads sold on Wednesday compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers sold 3 to 3.5 lower. Holstein steers 3 lower. Slaughter cows 1 to 2 lower. Slaughter bulls $2 lower. And feeder cattle mostly 3 to 4 lower. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, a few at 123 to 125. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 117.5 to 122.5. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 113 to 118. With select and choice 2s and 3s, 105.5 to 112.5. Slaughter heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 122 to 123.5. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 117 to 122.5. Slaughter cows, breaking type a few at 95 to 95.5. Boning type cows, 79 to 85.5. Lean cows, 70 to 78. With slaughter bulls, your grade 1s at 91.5 to 98. Return to farm calves, Holstein males weighing 70 pounds, sold from $60 to $100 a head, 80 to 90 pounds at $120 to $225 a head. Feeder steers, medium and large frame number ones weighing 350 to 400 pounds, a few at 180 to 181, package averaging 488 pounds at 175, and a package averaging 567 pounds at 160. Holstein steers, large frame number threes weighing 300 to 400 pounds, traded from 129 to 137, which were value-added, 400 to 425 pounds at 120 to 126, value-added, and a package averaging 486 pounds at 131. Heifers, medium and large frame number ones, weighing 300 to 400 pounds, a few at 168 to 174, 400 to 425 pounds, a few at 150 to 156. Medium and large ones and twos, a package averaging 875 pounds at 116. Young, medium and large frame bred cows in their second stage traded $1,125 to $1,225 a head, with young, medium and large frame third stage cows at $1,220 to $1,275. Middle-aged, medium frame second stage cows at $1,080 to $1,100 a head, and middle-aged, medium frame third stage cows from $910 to $1,260 a head. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service. Returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, April Class 3 milk closed at $15.50, down 21. For May, $15.31, down 16. For June, $15.35, down 23. Butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for April, $1.42 unchanged. For May, $1.42¾ unchanged. For June, $1.46 unchanged. Non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for April, $1.27¾, down 3/4. For May, $1.25, down 1. For June, $1.26, down 1. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, $1.43, down 3/4. For block cheese, $1.48¾, down 1/4. For barrel cheese, $1.46, down 1/4. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for April, $6.65. For May, $6.58. Corn delivered to Scottville for April, $6.57. For May, $6.50. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for April, $14.20. And for May, $14.20. And wheat delivered to Scottville for April, $6.22. For more information or to confirm the bids, you can call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening price is once again corn at Greenfield, $6.65, corn at Scottville, $6.57, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.20, wheat at Scottville, $6.22. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Good Friday morning. It's been brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. It's coming up on 620. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculant treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of need.
Across mid-Illinois for today, sunny skies, high temperatures in the low 60s and light northeast winds. Tonight, mostly clear, the low will be in the low 40s. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly cloudy, the high in the upper 60s. Your extended forecast for Easter Sunday through Tuesday, mostly clear, low temperatures in the upper 30s, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Right now at the Weather Center, light north winds, the barometric pressure is rising. We have clear skies, 34 degrees on this Friday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by the Litchfield National Bank, by the Sloan Implement Company, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. First of all, in our farm news today, yesterday at the Greenville Livestock Auction compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $3 to $3.50 lower. Slaughter Holstein steers sold about $3 lower. Slaughter cows sold $1 to $2 lower. Slaughter bulls sold about $2 lower. Feeder cattle, $3 to $4 lower. Slaughter steers accounted for about 4% of the total run. Slaughter Holsteins, 22%. Slaughter heifers, 14%. Slaughter cows, 28%. And slaughter bulls, 1%. There were bred cows and cow-calf pairs, about 8% of the total. Feeder cattle accounted for 23% of the total run, and among the feeders, 28% were Holstein steers, 39% heifers, 18% bulls, and feeder cattle over 600 pounds accounted for about 27% of the total run. Total receipts at the Greenville Livestock Auction yesterday, 552, last week, 594, a year ago, 819. Compared to last week, slaughter lambs sold $10 to $20 lower following last week's holiday demand. Slaughter ewes sold mostly $8 to $10 higher. Feeder lambs not tested. The receipts 33%. Yesterday 33, last week 390, and a year ago 33. On Thursday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. We discussed the crop report released last week by the Department of Agriculture. He explained how it may have affected the markets.
Well, you know, I think we could be experiencing a little bit of profit taking here as we go into the weekend, and a long weekend at that with the Easter holiday coming up. No markets tomorrow for Good Friday. But we do have another supply and demand report next Tuesday coming from the USDA, and a lot of attention is going to be paid to the old crop corn carryout estimates. On the stocks report last week on Friday, of course, the USDA was suggesting that we could have as much as 200 million bushels less old crop corn than we thought. And if that comes to fruition, you could see an old crop carryout closer to 600 million instead of 800. So average trade guess for this going into it is about 700 or 720 million on that carryout number. So if it comes in significantly lower than that, I think old crop corn still has you know, the opportunity to go, you know, close to $7, if not above that, to shut off the ethanol demand and make sure we ration that demand as we go into the production cycle. It's still difficult with a 95.9 million acres number for new crop to get extremely bullish new crop corn. But if the old crop wants to take off, you know, it'll try to drag it along with it. But I think it's going to be more of a spread issue, buying July or May corn and selling December, because until we get into a production problem or, you know, are nervous about production going into 2012-13, you know, there's not a real big reason for corn to rally. Now, the soybeans are a different story. You know, we've heard the USDA advertise an acreage number of 73.9, a lot lower than what was expected and anticipated, but we're starting to hear people make that switch from corn over to beans, especially in some of these corn-on-corn areas where they didn't get fertilizer on, or some of the fringe areas you know, up in Minnesota and parts of the Dakotas. You know, it just starts to pencil better if they can get the bean yield, and there's also some agronomic benefits from making that switch as well down the road. So it's anyone's guess on how many acres have been switched at this point. We know when those surveys were taken, the beans continued to rally against corn the whole time leading up to that report. So it's undoubtedly gained some acres since then, but we're also dealing with the fact that crush margins on soybeans are still very good, and that's in large part due to, you know, high prices of meal and soybean oil. And as long as that demand sticks around and there's still concern about the South American crop and, you know, not having enough to meet demand, especially for China, you know, we're starting to become, you know, competitive still out of the Pacific Northwest to China. So prices may have to stay elevated or even go higher to cut off that demand, make sure we've got enough supply until we know more about this growing season.
You mentioned the term crush margin often when describing the bean trade. Can you explain that?
Well, you know, when a soybean's crushed, you get two products. You get soy meal and soy oil. So with big demand for vegetable oil over the last couple of years worldwide, soybean oil has been able to stay somewhat elevated, but it's more so the meal. With the expansion of some of these hog herds, especially over in Asia, we've seen a lot of demand for that. And as long as there's profit to be made there, the soybean crushers are going to continue to crush soybeans. It doesn't really matter what the price is. As long as they can get enough money out of selling the meal and the oil off that soybean, you know, they figure that on a ratio. But as long as there's money to be made there, they're going to continue to do it. And that means, you know, demand is still there. So if prices go high enough to, you know, make those margins disappear, you know, simple supply and demand, they'll stop producing it, and in turn we'll have more supply. But the price has to find that. That's what price discovery is all about. But, you know, as we near some of these contract highs on the new crop soybeans, you know, you wonder if beans are setting up to continue to rally and how far they can really go, because it's tough to say what's already figured into this marketplace.
You mentioned the carryout figure a little bit earlier, give or take about 750 million bushel. That's one of the smallest carryouts in a while, isn't it?
It is, and you know, if memory serves me right, I think that would be the tightest on record in history. So, you know, we know this ethanol grind has slowed down. Yesterday's data showed that. And actually those numbers were below the pace needed to hit the USDA's estimate. So if corn continues to rally, I think we'll shut some of that off. But the margins in ethanol even are still there, at least for right now, even though they're slimming. But again, I think once you get near that $7 mark or above that, you're going to shut that off, curtail that, and that means in turn more supply. But there's a lot of people that still think, especially with the cash markets as strong as they are, that there's a lot less corn out there than is being advertised. And the spreads tell us that, with May being inverted to the July futures in corn and the basis levels very hot, especially in the western Corn Belt, some people are toying with the idea, is it just that there's more in on-farm storage and the farmer is not a willing seller, or is it the sheer fact that the bushels that we think are out there really aren't?
You know, another thing, too, about the ethanol manufacturers, it seems to me that that's done more like a hand-to-mouth type thing, because speaking from experience, they don't have a lot of storage on site.
No, they don't. And ethanol is not a product that you produce to store. There's not a lot of carry in those markets. It's something that's produced to be used. And, you know, they like to stay hand-to-mouth. That doesn't mean they won't cover or hedge some needs, you know, a couple months out. But a lot of times the margins aren't there on the forward curve. They have to wait until the front months come alive, and they're getting their needs there. It's also a function of, with the volatility, they don't want to put too much risk out there in their hedges, be wrong on that, and you know, get into a little bit of, you know, legging in and out of their hedges. That's how Verisun went broke back in 08 after that whole debacle. And, you know, with alcohol prices taking kind of a tumble here ever since, you know, towards the end of 2011 into 12, those, you know, price, alcohol prices coming down are going to hurt things a little bit. But the fact that crude oil is so high and the fact that it's going to be a discount to reformulated gasoline suggests that that demand will still be there. And as long as the margins are there to do it, we'll continue to produce ethanol. But if corn goes high enough, it'll shut it off.
And also the 15% blend is a factor too, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, if we see that continue to go into effect, you know, from 12 and into the 13 and 14 crop years, you know, we're going to continue to see a lot of demand. But we got to produce this crop, and it begs the question, if we get into tight carryout situations, you know, some people have hinted that the government may do something to adjust those mid-year if carryouts get too tight. And, you know, there's still this big argument over food versus fuel and putting food in a gas tank. But we have to remember what comes out of that corn, you know, DDGs to help feed our livestock that also help feed the world. So there's a lot of moving parts and variables anymore to these markets, but we'll have to see what they look like longer term. Supply and demand will help find you know, a fair price from the markets, and we'll just see what happens over time.
That was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. And early spring in much of the heartland may mean more corn acres than the 95.9 million the Ag Department said last Friday. U.S. farmers intend to plant, while the prospective planting figure, if realized, would be the highest corn acreage since 1937. Brad Paulson, an analyst at Northern Crops Marketing and Investments, says actual seeding could easily go even higher.
I've been hearing whisper numbers from seed companies and different people in the industry of maybe even 96 to 97. Some people out on the fringe are talking as much as 99 to 100 million acres of corn, but that'd be pretty tough nut to crack. I agree with this number, and if they're wrong, they're probably low.
At 95.9 million, the nation's corn area would be nearly 4 million acres above a year ago. Mr. Paulson suggests it'll take a near-perfect growing season for U.S. yield average to reach the 160-bushel trend line, because over half of the anticipated acreage increase will be in North Dakota, Minnesota, and Nebraska.
We don't raise 200-bushel corn in North Dakota. It's more than 100 to 150-bushel. That's going to have to be taken in consideration. But again, acreage in Iowa was up big, and that's where they do grow it. So I don't think you have to deviate too much from the trend line yield, especially if we get this crop in early and weather stays decent at all.
Paulson says there's still time for the market to buy back some soybean acres. According to the USDA, farmers plan to plant 73.9 million acres of beans, down about a million acres from last year. It's coming up on 6:31. More farm news right after this.
Let's get ready to mow at Sloan's. Our factory-trained technicians are ready.
Check.
Our John Deere parts are set.
Check.
Beat the rush with our complete 14-point inspection. Why not keep your John Deere investment paying off for years to come? Give it the annual upkeep it deserves, and we'll have you ready to mow. Call today and book early at any of Sloan's 11 Central Illinois locations or online at Sloan's.com.
Powered up with Sloan's.
The Chicks from Taylor and Soaps.
In the past, you had to travel to St. Louis or Springfield to get nice things. Not anymore. Taylor and Soaps offers Pandora jewelry, Brighton accessories, and Royal Norman cosmetics in a beautiful setting. What sets Taylor and Soaps apart from the city? Park right outside our door, enjoy a small town welcome, and since our sales taxes are much less, you always get a discount. What more could you ask for? Did you say dessert? We have that too.
Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gifts, located in Mount Olive, the place to shop for the women in your life.
Litchfield National Bank wants to be your partner when it comes to summertime fun. Let Ryan Weatherford help you finance the things that make summer great with a loan for a boat, RV, or that swimming pool you've been thinking about. Call Litchfield National Bank at 324-7955 and ask for Ryan Weatherford today, or visit him at our branch located in the Walmart Supercenter. Litchfield National Bank, the friendly bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Wright Automotive has a beautiful 2012 Dodge Grand Caravan SE. MSRP is $23,830. The right price, $19,705. See dealer for details. The right vehicle for the right price from the right family. Hillsboro or online at WrightAutomotive.com.
Hey, Justin Peoples from Rod Automotive. Do you need service on your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram truck, Jeep, Lincoln, or Ford? You'll find factory-authorized technicians at Rod Automotive. The right vehicle for the right price from the right family. Hillsboro or rodautomotive.com.
6:33 on this Friday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106, and other farm news. Heather Hampton Nodal is the secretary of the Illinois Agri-Women. She spoke recently at the Illinois Ag Legislative Day in Springfield. She also talked to Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. Montgomery County's Heather Hampton Nodal is the secretary for the Illinois Agri-Women. She spoke at the Illinois Capitol last week at Ag Legislative Day on behalf of the group, and she spoke about some of their priorities.
The number one issue in the state is budget. And if people aren't getting that, in my mind, there's only one thing to talk about, and it is the budget. However, we continue to see a huge onslaught of bills trying to limit how we can do what we do. So, for example, there's a tail docking bill that agri-women are speaking out against, saying you have to understand this from a production perspective and even from the animal's health perspective. There are reasons why this is done. So we're just trying to be a voice of reason on that issue. There are issues related to private property. When we look at fracking, the geologic fracturing for natural gas extrusion. A lot of issues now and bills proposed to try to strip mineral rights from property owners essentially and just allow things to take place underground that we at this point really have very little information about from a property owner standpoint. But one of our key issues that ties back into budget is from a Department of Agriculture standpoint, especially over the last 8 years, we have seen so much of its budget capacity specifically for regulatory enforcement and things like invasive species, invasive pest management, meat inspection. These are real functions that protect the citizens of Illinois and their public safety, and that agency cannot afford to be stripped of any more money. So we really have to bring that message loud and clear and say if we're serious about protecting the environment, we need to fund our soil and water conservation districts because that's where the real work gets done. It doesn't get done talking in a boardroom or rolling out a new program with pretty posters. It gets done through conservation practices on the land. So we're just trying to be a voice of reason, we would hope, and common sense.
And do you find year after year when you do go in and talk to legislators that all it does take is a little education, a little one-on-one?
I think with many of them, yes. But what I've learned, and this is, I think, my 16th or 17th Agriculture Legislative Day, I think what I've also learned over time, though, is that a lot of things are politicized, even subtle things. And it's interesting to watch people who are here their first, second, even third, fourth, and fifth times, because they'll come and say, man, I think I had a really good meeting and that was a great conversation. What that means is you usually did most of the talking. What you need to do is let that representative speak about an issue that is germane to the conversation, not the weather, and figure out exactly where do they stand, and then listen and learn more about who they associate with and where their true loyalties are, and those are the things that ultimately impact where things come out. Unfortunately, it's not always common sense that gets things done. It is whatever relationships or commitments they've made prior to you sitting there with them. But yes, I do believe we still can influence that and have an impact on that.
Heather Hampton Nodal with the Illinois Agri-Women. I'm Rita Frazier reporting for WSMI.
Some other ag news notes on this Friday morning. A warm, dry winter does not necessarily mean a hot summer or a bigger corn crop, according to a University of Illinois analysis of more than 50 years of weather patterns. Farm economist Darrell Good analyzed average winter temperatures and precipitation from 1960 to 2011 in Illinois and Iowa, which account for about 40% of the nation's corn production. He compared winter numbers of temperature and precipitation to corn yields the following summer, and he said the relationship between winter and the following summer is non-existent. Ground beef processor AFA Foods on Monday said it is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection and selling its assets after the recent public outcry over the beef filler known as pink slime derailed its efforts to save its already struggling business. The controversy over the ammonia-treated meat filler has dramatically reduced demand for all ground beef products. No commodity markets today as the markets are closed for the Good Friday holiday. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by the Sloan Implement Company, by the Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, and by the Litchfield National Bank. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy.